Joe has already had a prayer. Hopefully you are still filled with the Spirit and don't need to rebound again. But you might. The 2006 Grace Doctrine Church Annual Congregational Meeting is called to order. Paul, do we have a quorum? Thank you. First of the agenda, I will read the meeting minutes from last year's Board of Annual Congregational Meeting. It was held on Sunday, February 13th, 2005, the second session. I introduced Pastor Griffin and called the meeting to order. A quorum was ascertained, and Pastor Griffin opened in prayer. I read the minutes of February 13, 2004 annual meeting, and then asked if there was a motion to approve the minutes as read. The motion was made by Joe Hunt to approve the minutes, and it was seconded by Paul Davey. It was approved unanimously. Then I read the agenda for the last year's meeting, and after that, thanked Joe Hunt for serving on the Board of Deacons, for his leadership, especially on the new facilities committee. We passed out ballots and ratified as a congregation Pastor Griffin's nominees for the Board of Deacons in 2005. Then Dan Hunt, as treasurer, presented financial reports. I then announced that the Board of Deacons for year 2005 was approved by the congregation. Then Joe Hunt presented a report on the new building committee. There were several questions asked about that that were answered. And being no other business, the meeting was adjourned and then closed with prayer. I would at this time entertain a motion that the minutes from last year be approved. Is there so moved? Is there a second? Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye. Opposed? Motion carried. At this point, we'll have the ratification of the Board of Deacons for 2006. At the deacons' meeting on January 19th, Pastor Griffin nominated the deacons for this current year. They were approved by the Board of Deacons at that meeting. Constitution requires now that after being nominated by the pastor and approved by the Board of Deacons, that be ratified by the voting members of the congregation. And at this time, we can pass the ballots out. And requirements for voting is that you be a member of the congregation and 20 years old. You don't even have to be of sound mind. You just have to be 20 years old and a member of the congregation. As they're handing out the ballots, you vote, fold them up and pass them to the center. And while they're doing that, I tell my annual joke. There was a fellow named Robert Dunn who went on a cruise with his lovely wife, and they were having problems. They had not heard Joe's Song of Solomon study, and they sorely needed it. But what they did as a second choice is they went to a Christian marriage counselor, and he suggested they go on a cruise. So they did, and they thought that maybe this would rekindle things. Well, after a couple of days, it realized that it wasn't going to work. And poor Robert Dunn was so vexed that he leaped over the ship as it was leaving port, and down he went. Mrs. Dunn, thinking he was out on the ship somewhere, went to bed. And the next morning, she was notified by two stern-looking men dressed in white from the United States Coast Guard. I said, Mrs. Dunn, we have some grave news, but we also want to offer we have good news and we have great news. She said, well, what happened? I said, well, Robert Dunn apparently was so upset that he jumped overboard. Someone said because he found out the cruise ship wasn't going to go to Aruba. But we did recover his body. We were able to find it, and we brought it up. I'm very sorry. And Mrs. Dunn said, well, you know, that's okay. He was a believer in Christ, and he's now in a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, and I can get on with my life. What is the good news, though? She said, well, this is very embarrassing to say, Mrs. Dunn, but when we brought him up, he had attached to him hundreds and hundreds of very rare crabs. It's a delicacy in the Caribbean. And we're going to share the proceeds of that with you. And it's worth a great deal of money. She said, well, that's nice. I probably do need to forego the expense here. She said, well, thank you. She said, you don't understand, Mrs. Dunn. This is going to more than pay for this whole cruise. This is a very, very expensive crabs. And she said, well, what's the great news? He said, you see, Mrs. Dunn, we're going to bring him up again tomorrow. Dana told me not to tell that joke. But it was in me and it had to come out. Hopefully by this time we've... I'll wait until... all the Chads have been counted and no, I won't. See, I'm hoping that in a year from now you'll have forgotten that. I always tell it after the vote. After the tabulation of the votes, I'm going to have Dan Hunt, the treasurer, come up and mesmerize you with his financial wizardry. Actually, Dan does a great job. I don't know what we'd do without him. Okay. I've been told that the entire board has been approved for another year, so thank you for participating in this annual exercise. At this point, Dan, could you come and give your report?
Good morning. Kathleen asked me on the way over today what riveting means. I said, honey, I'm hoping they don't fall asleep. Our agenda that we will discuss today will be in a couple of areas. One is to review the financial statements from Joe Griffin Media Ministry and also Grace Doctrine Church, and also to discuss some of our building fund projects. One is I've had a lot of questions asked recently about the purchase of our property. I want to review that from the financial side and then lay out some of our goals as to where we're going with the building of an actual church. First, did everyone receive a handout? Okay, I'd like to review the financial statement of Joe Griffin Media Ministry for the year 2005. Our beginning balance was in excess of $103,000. We received in grace giving $66,000, earned $627 of interest, and our expenses were $39,000, leaving us an ending balance of $130,265.19. This was an increase in excess of $26,000, and as you can see, it supported itself, which was one of our questions that the board had. If we separated that off from Grace Doctrine Church, would it in fact support itself? And it has. The second handout is Grace Doctrine Church's financial statement. Our general fund started with $203,000. We received $118,000 in donations, earned $15,700 in interest. The expenses were $128,000. We transferred $17,000 from the general fund to the building fund, which I'll discuss in a minute, with an ending balance at the general fund of in excess of $191,000. The building fund started with $788,000 January 1st of 05. The revenues were $28,900. We paid $575,000 to purchase our property and the transfer of $17,000. Leaving us an ending balance of just $260,000 in our building fund. We have a total in our building fund and our general fund of in excess of $450,000, and our fixed income, which is our purchase of our land, our 3.4 acres, is $562,500. If you look at the increase in our overall financial position for Grace Doctrine Church, it was in excess of $34,000, which is important because I'm going to make a comment about that in a few minutes. Now, I'd like to discuss real quick this item here, this transfer. I have been depositing the interest that we have earned in our general fund and our building fund from our investment accounts, which are in treasury bills, in the general fund for accounting purposes, waiting for the end of the year so I could then go back and calculate what interest was earned with the money designated for the general fund and the building fund. And that calculation, from the very beginning, when the building fund was established, was $17,360 of the $24,972 that we received. In other words, the money that we have had in our accounts earned almost $25,000, and $17,360 of that should have been in the building fund. That was transferred December 31st on the accounting statement. And if you'll notice on our January 1st statement going forward, that money now will be earmarked on a monthly basis. Okay, here's the questions that I've had from several of you and letters that have been written by people that contribute to our church from the internet. And I thought I would review this real quick to answer some of those questions and to clear this up. Our opening balance in our building fund from the very beginning was $51,490. We received $202,000 in from the white card survey, and the contributions for 2002 were in excess of $19,000, 2003, $497,000, 04, $17,196, 05, as it read on our 2005 statement, almost $29,000. The interest that I mentioned, $17,300, gave us a total in our building fund of $834,506. Now let's talk real quick about the property that we purchased, the 3.44 acres. The sales price to us was $562,500, and I listed every expense that we had in the year 2005 for the purchase of that property. And you can see appraisal fees, closing costs, real estate taxes, soil assessment, survey, and title. The total cost to us was $775,748. Now, let's discuss, okay, one comment. At the bottom of that, you can see that there's $834,506 total. We spent $575,748 and ended up with what we have in our building fund in excess of $258,000. Now, very quickly, let's talk about the real estate tax up in the cost of purchasing this property. At closing, The gentleman that sold us the piece of property paid the taxes from January 1st until we purchased that. And if you look at the bottom of the statement, we owe $1,933 in taxes. He was responsible for taxes from January 1st through October 4th, of $1,209, and we ended up paying $724 out of our pocket. So a question was asked to me by one of you. We received this $1,200 at closing from him, and then we paid out the $1,933 on December 31st. So net to us was the $724. Now, I have a meeting set up on the 23rd of February with the Board of Equalization down in Clayton to have that board consider our petition to have us tax exempt for real estate and personal property taxes. We have not paid any personal property tax or real estate tax to this time, but owning this piece of property, that discussion has to take place for us to go through the formality of being exempt from that. I'm very confident that will happen. I have meetings scheduled, one in St. Charles for the property and then one in Clayton on the 23rd, and I'll keep you apprised of that. I don't see any problem with that. We just have to prove certain things to the board. Okay, now, with the agenda, now let's move to the cost of the building. This is not the board's recommendation. This is just a thought of mine to try to show you what could be ahead for our congregation. Weldon is going to expand on this when I'm finished. And this is just an idea. If we were to build a church at a cost of $1 million, one of my thoughts were looking at our budgeting, what could we afford? And if we could come up with a $600,000 down payment, we would be able to afford, in my estimation, a loan of approximately $400,000. How do we come up with the $600,000? If you'll notice in this area, we have $258,000 in our building fund currently. That means we would have to raise $341,000 to have the $600,000 total that we would need as a down payment. This means that we would have a loan of approximately $400,000. Now, this is how this would look. If we went that direction, and of course that's up to the board and then of course your vote, so this is just a thought, we would have a building valued at $1 million. Our land is worth $712,000. Now, I need to discuss this quickly. We only paid $562,000 for the piece of property. And why that was is the property was appraised at $712,000. The gentleman that sold us this property contributed back to our church as a donation by reducing the property $150,000. So this property is appraised at $712,000. We only paid $562,000. With my conversations with the bank, they would look at us as having a church and some ground worth $1.7 million. What I'm trying to show you is if we borrowed $400,000 on this property, this is a 25% debt to equity ratio, meaning that the property's worth $1.7 million. We borrow 25%. 75% of our equity is a very, very strong cushion from the bank standpoint. If you look at the payment on a $400,000 loan, and again, this is just a thought, it would be $3,041 a month. We are currently spending here at Chesterfield Day School $575 a month. We would have an increase of almost $2,500 a month payment. The loan that the banks that I've called would be in the area of a 20-year loan, amortized in 20 years, with a 3 or a 5-year balloon payment, which means you have to renegotiate this. And the interest rates on this are right now about 6.75%. That's where I came up with this payment amount. Now, this is my opinion from the financial side. Personally, I would be very strongly in favor of a loan for a couple of reasons. One is, if you look at our donations to our church over the last couple of years, they've been in excess of what our expenses are, to the tune last year of $34,000, as I showed you earlier. Second is, we have approximately $200,000 in our general fund. So what we would do if we had a loan is use the money from the building fund to put down on the property, have a $400,000 loan, and with the payment every month, have a strong cushion in two areas. One, tremendous equity in our new facility, our own place. And second is, with the excess of contributions that we're receiving overall, you can see that we've gone up some $34,000. And with having $200,000 of cash to fall back on, I think we would be in a very, very strong position. So that's a thought. I'll let Weldon now come up and expand on this. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Danny. Our architect, who's been helping us pro bono, Richard Hayes, some of you know him, and he's been in our congregation before, and will be back, is a bona fide architect that actually has lives in Tennessee, is licensed in Tennessee, but has maintained, believe it or not, a license in Missouri for some reason. And so he retired this year, I think in July, was it? Something like that, or December. We told him we would pay for his renewal of his Missouri license if he'd just send it. So he still has a Missouri license. So he's been able to work with the people in St. Charles County and looking at what needs to be done in building. Yesterday, I received in the mail a letter from him that includes his out-of-pocket expense, plus code and zoning reviews from St. Charles, the International Building Code of 2003, and some other architectural-type professional things, plus drawings. See that? That's our place. That's phase one. Not to belabor it here, but if anybody would like to come up after class and look at these, he has it, the site, how the building's going to be on the property. It's sort of skewed. It looks kind of smart. I can show you this. I actually gave him a call this morning and talked to him about these things. And I said, Richard, the next phase, the board has discussed this. We would like to have an initial phase of, if you will, a bare bones. Let's get in the building, have it at least equal to this place, and we can work on the improvements later. And I noticed of what he sent me, the estimation of phase one. there's an assembly hall that's going to be initially seating for 200. It's going to be 2,674 square feet. He breaks it down into storage, cry room / late arrival, 140 feet in the closet. No, it's, I guess that would be 10 by 14. And the reason you can't call them a nursery because the government gets all upset and then they impose things that you don't even want to know about. So it's a cry room, and late arrival. You can cry if you're late. There's an AV platform, it says general circulation. I think that's milling about 650 square feet. It comes to 2,600. And then there's a 600 square foot reception area, a private office for the pastor, a private bathroom. Then there's a T&P room, storeroom, boardroom, two public toilets, circulation. I'm not sure what that is, mechanical and electrical. A kitchen. We won't call it a kitchen because the same thing happens. It will be a like a service area. And then a social / function, an expansive seating, another 800 square feet. And then 645 square feet prep school with three classrooms, a toilet, and storage. That comes to a total of 6,879 square feet. There's also improvements on the land, obviously, to include utilities, paving, a retention basin, grading. And the estimation of the construction of the building is $825,000, and the parking lot, utilities, etc., is $261,000 for a total of $186,000. So I called him this morning and said, thanked him for all this. Richard, now what we need is a plan, like a phase one, to get in before we have this turnkey thing. He said, that is phase one. And I said, well, okay, I put it to him a different way. I said, let's say through contributions, money that we have in the building fund, money that we can borrow from the Joe Griffin Media Ministries, more donations and borrowing. Let's say we have 700,000. We don't have 1.2 when we add either the 400,000 that Danny brought up is hypothetical, which is solid and works. But if you add the 400,000 plus the other monies, let's say we come up with 700. I would like to start and do something. He said, that's a good idea. You're right. We should start building. I said, that will probably invigorate the congregation and see we're actually doing something with the money. And we all know this is the Lord's money. It's not ours anymore. So this is going to happen in his good time. But he said it will also send a signal to St. Charles County that you're not just have a piece of land and you're going to hold it, because the longer you hold it and don't do anything, the more they start thinking, are they doing this for speculation? And some churches have been required to pay personal property taxes and all sorts of taxes because the county assessors have looked upon this as they're just holding this for an investment. So he said when he gets back, he's going with Moses to India. And when he gets back, he's going to work on a plan that if we have through cash on hand, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, plus the bank, if we have $600,000 or $700,000 of the $1.2 million, then he's going to come up with a plan that we can start construction. And obviously the things that we can bring to the building that we already have. We already have these wonderful chairs that you wouldn't want to part with anyway. There are things that as the Lord provides the money, we can improve the building, but we want to get a roof over our head and have it heated, air-conditioned, and a place for the prep school and a place for the congregation to meet. So it'll probably be the end of March. I think March 26th is when Debbie and Richard are getting back from the subcontinent. And so I would suspect probably maybe in April we'll hear from him. He will come down here at some time, he and Debbie as well. So if anyone would like to see these close up, you people who can read these things, it is quite nice. I have no other business. Is there any new business that would anybody like to bring up? At this time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved. Paul, is there a second? Timmy? Okay. The meeting is adjourned, and I would like Joe to close in prayer.
Before doing so, I would like to make a short announcement. Michael Probasco has taken a job in Saudi Arabia and is going to be there for about 3 years. And so he has resigned from the Board of Deacons, and I would like to thank him for his service to the church over the last several years. And we wish him well in Saudi Arabia, especially the environment that exists there. And secondly, Joe Hunt is resigned from the board. Joe Hunt was very valuable in bringing us to the position you've seen demonstrated here today. The report on the new facility search, the purchase of the land, and the progress that we've made with regard to Richard Hayes' work on blueprints and what have you. I want to thank Joe for his service on the new facilities committee. He and Gary Watson did yeoman's work on that and have gotten us to where we are today. And I'm encouraged by the report given by Danny and by Weldon with regard to our future in a church. And we look forward to Richard's report, which will probably be on some Sunday in April. So hang in there with us and continue in your prayers for our new place. Thank you for your attention. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to gather as a congregation and to discuss the affairs of this church. It is our prayer that your blessings would continue to be showered upon us as we continue to advance forward in our pursuit of truth. And we do ask your grace blessings upon us that we might be able to afford and then populate a place of our own. We thank you for your magnificent grace to us as a church and as individuals. And we lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dismissed.